And so that's what they do. They came and they asked Jesus, let us know, show us how to pray. But what we do find, if you put the Lord's Prayer up next to the Amidah, there's a lot of similarities. And so this prayer, when Jesus is teaching them, he's using lingo that they're very familiar with. The length of it would not be surprising because they were basically asking for a shorter version and the contents. But what's interesting is that Jesus took some of the very Jewish things out of that prayer whenever he gave it to them. Things like the references to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He took out things where it talks about rebuilding Jerusalem or restoring the temple. Those are very Jewish situations. He strips it of all of those cultural trappings so that he makes that prayer accessible for all people throughout all generation. Amen? All of us can pray that prayer without thinking about, oh, I got to rebuild the temple or anything like that. Yeah, I believe that what Jesus does is open up access so you and I, 2,000 years later, in a completely different culture, can still pray the same prayer.
Amen.
Amen. He opened it up for all of us. And another thing that Jesus did is that he shifted priorities and focuses in that prayer. Because again, this prayer was a Jewish tradition. It wasn't Scripture. We have to understand, tradition is not the same as Scripture. Right? There's a complete difference. So Jesus is taking out things and putting different priorities in there that really need to be in there. So it's important for us as 21st century people because, again, in a lot of our prayers, I'm just going to be honest, a lot of our prayers, I think this is a fill-in in your notes, our approach to prayer is more an antidote for our mess and an order form for our wants. Okay? Think about that. Like, oh God, I'm in a mess. Lord, I really need you now, you know. And I share this with a first, so I'm going to share it with you in case somebody has this generous heart of giving. Oh God, I really would like to have a red Corvette. Lord, I'm just seeking. I'm on my knees seeking you for that. Right? That's our wants. And a lot of times we approach prayer with God, I've gotten in a mess, and I need you to get me out. Or I want this, and I want that. And then give me this, and give me that. You know, Colossians chapter 4, we covered this in our men's Bible study on Friday. Paul is in prison. Now, let me ask you, if you were in prison, wouldn't one of your first prayer requests be like, get me out?
Yeah.
Right? I'm in prison, get me out. If you've ever been in prison, maybe you've prayed that prayer, right? Paul asked for prayer, but not to get him out of that situation. Paul says, pray for me that I might have opportunity to share the gospel. And he has a second prayer, and it's not about getting me out. It's about, and help me to be able to present these words clearly. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? I believe that Jesus reshifts the priorities in order to remind us that we are living in a bigger world and a God that is much bigger than our own little world, and he's simply inviting you and I to be a part of it. Right. Amen? Does that make sense? We find a God who is concerned about every detail of our life in this because he does say, give us this day our what? So God is concerned about our everyday things, but I believe that he's trying to bring a kingdom focus because God has called us to make a difference in our world. Amen. To shift this world, inviting us to play a role in that. So we may look at this. And another thing I think that is important is that it's being prayed by a man who's living under foreign occupation. Right? Jesus in Israel is under foreign occupation, oppressive forces. Yet we find in this prayer hope that against whatever situation they're facing. I believe it's a prayer for a coming kingdom, a prayer about provision. A prayer about deliverance. Some of you know we need deliverance.
Amen.
Right? It's involved in this prayer. It's about access to God our Father. And it's about hope. I believe it is. So let's look at just the first line. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be breaking down the Lord's Prayer. Today we're talking about just the verse 9. Can we go to that? Jesus tells them this then, after they ask, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Man, we know that. What does he begin with is the word our. Aren't we, we're very private as Westerners, aren't we? Like, this is my faith. This is my personal faith in the Lord. I'm not, nobody else, don't talk about religion and politics, right? But faith is not something that should be just privatized. Here's what happens when you are private about your faith, then we tend to go off the rails with our weird theology. Am I right? We have no accountability, and what happens is that we tend to make a God in our image, a God that suits us, a God that lines up with my beliefs, and you hear phrases like this, oh, my God would never do such and such. Right? We like to outline what kind of God we serve, but what we've done is just made a false image. But the great thing is when you're in community, it's like, you know, you come off with one of those weird ideas and someone's like, where's that at in the scripture? Yeah. Right? Nobody challenges you at home, but you know what? When you're in community, we help each other. We are doing this thing together, and I think that's why it's important for this word are. And Jesus is saying, basically, he's identifying two relationships right at the very beginning, our vertical relationship with Father and our horizontal relationship with one another when he says our. When we pray, it is our Father. And I believe that Jesus points us not to that personal prayer, but a communal prayer. We pray together. That's why Pastor Colleen was up here leading in prayer. This wasn't just her praying. We were all praying. She might have been the one vocalizing the word, but I could hear people saying, amen, yes, Lord. They were in agreement because we are talking and we're doing this together. How many of you know if you are at home praying, good, we need to do that, but you know what? There's nobody around to hear you and amen that. There's nobody that knows what you're praying. And so there's power when we begin to do this thing together. And listen, you may be new here. This may be the first time, and you're like, man, I don't know about all of this stuff. But I want you to know that hour is very inclusive to have access to the Father. Right. It's not like, oh, man, I don't know if I can enter in. Oh, no, you can come in. God is waiting for you to come in. Amen? So this prayer is not about me, myself, and mine. It is about us and our. Amen?
Amen.
And listen, I know some of you may be skeptical, like Pastor, you're making a big deal of that word our. But guess what? If you read further on in the prayer, Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread, right? Not give me what I need today, oh God. Give us. And so it's very intentional, I believe very meaningful, that it's not about me prayers, it's about us prayers. Right? There's power in that. And listen, over these next several weeks, I want to really encourage you, find people that you can pray with. And I know that we share this on Thursday night. There's a group of, I don't know, 8 to sometimes we've had 20-something people here praying. And could you make even a commitment over 6 weeks to say, okay, you know what, I'm going to come Thursday, 7 to 8, let's be honest, there is nothing better on TV than spending time with God's people praying. Amen? And we live in a day and age where you can DVR anything, right? So prayer is so important, and it's like, I believe that if we can come together, you know, as we're leading up, there's going to be power. And listen, I know everybody's got different schedules, different things, but that is my challenge over these next 6 weeks. Can I make a commitment to be here on Thursday night and Sunday? You don't want to miss what we're talking about here, because I believe it's going to open up. So let me get back to the scripture. As we look at this, there's a reference of God as Father. And that was a very common reference. The Jewish people were not unaware of that. But I believe that it was Jesus' favorite title for God. He said it over 165 times in the gospel. Somebody counted that. I did not. But he referred to them at often. And listen, we live in a world where there's a lot of fatherless people. Am I right?
Amen.
There's a lot of people that are struggling when it comes to referencing. And listen, we've pastored for a long time. We've known people that really struggle with this God is Father thing. It's like, I love Jesus, but I can't really relate, because maybe you grew up with an absentee father. Maybe it was an abusive situation. So people have this mental block on referring to God as Father. Listen, if you grew up in a home where you had a great dad, then it's like, man, this is easy peasy, right? I can understand God as Father, but some people really struggle with that. And if that's you, I want you to understand that you're not alone. There's a lot of people that struggle with that. It's very common. But I want to tell you that I believe that Jesus paints a picture of who the Father is, that if we can begin to look at the words and the teachings of Jesus, you know, what does Jesus say? He goes, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
The Father.
So if I can look at Jesus and I can really love Jesus, then I can understand that whatever my view of Father was may be wrong, but Jesus is showing what the Father is like.
That's right.
I love some of the pictures that Jesus says, the prodigal son. What an amazing story that Jesus is teaching, because he's trying to relate, this is the Father. This is the Father right here. I mean, think about the prodigal son. This guy takes half of his inheritance, goes and spends it, but guess what the Father is doing? He's sitting there still waiting for him to come home.
That's right.
You know what we learn? We get a picture of God as a Father, that it doesn't matter what we've done or where we've been, he's always ready to welcome us back.
Yes.
He's always ready. And you know, amen. I'll tell you what. Some of our dads, like if we burned them and took half of their finances, they'd be like, hit the road and don't ever come back.
Yeah.
That's not the kind of God we serve.
No,
he's
not.
Willing to take us. He loves us. He's not that he's just willing, but he's looking for us to come back. Luke chapter 11, where the scripture talks about how our Father gives good gifts. You may not have gotten a good gift, but I want to tell you that our God, our Father, gives us good gifts.
Amen.
He desires that. He wants to do that. And he illustrates it about the persistent neighbor that came knocking at this friend's door. And he's like, hey, listen, I need something. And he's knocking on the door. And the guy's like, hey, I'm in bed with my family. Leave me alone. But the guy kept knocking. And one of the translations says that with shameless audacity, kept knocking. Kept going. And so this guy gets up and he gives him what he wants. And the scripture says, how much more will God give this to you? How much more? With shameless audacity, can we come to God and know that God loves to us? I believe that God responds to that. And I got a picture that I want to put up here. That is our granddaughter. And I didn't share this, but Timothy came up and whispered in my ear, they're going to the hospital right now. So we may, as you prayed for it, come on. And guess what? God may hear that prayer. So we may have grandbaby number two. Yes. But back to Abby, our 14-month-old tomorrow granddaughter. Listen, she loves books. And our family can attest, if you are anywhere near her books, she will sit down and she will hand you every single one of them. And guess what? She expects you to read every single one of them. And once you finish reading it, guess what? She wants you to read it again. And again. And again. And we're like, oh my gosh, I'm sick of this book, you know. But guess what we do? Because of her shameless audacity, guess what we all do? We read it. And we read it again. And I believe that's the kind of God we have. If we can just come to him with that authenticity, God responds. God responds. Amen? We are his kids, and he is a good father. He's strong enough to protect you, and yet tender enough to heal you. Amen? He's wise enough to teach you, and yet patient enough for us to get our act together. Amen? Aren't you glad God's been patient with you? Amen? He's close enough to see you, and so it gives us confidence to approach him, our Father. And then it goes on to say, in heaven. And a lot of times we think about heaven as some future destination when I die, but that's really not what it's talking about there. It's not so much a future destination as it is God's current reality. God is the Father in heaven. It's talking more about his position, where he is. God has got perspective. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation, all of us have, where, man, I've got so many problems, I can't see past my own nose. But we serve a God that has perspective, that has authority in all of heaven, that he sees us from the first beginning to the end. And he may know your current trial that you feel like is going to kill you. And you're saying, oh, God, get me out of this. And he's saying, be patient, because I'm doing a work in your life. And if you'll hang on, I'm going to get you to a better place. Amen?
Amen?
Because he's got perspective. So we reach out to him. It's our Father in heaven, Father above all creation. And like I said, it's not so much about where he is as who he is. He is the God of all power, right? And so we serve a God that is as close as a father, yet has a perspective of heaven. Amen. I can tell you as an earthly father, when my kids are going through something, I can try to encourage them, but I don't have the perspective of our Heavenly Father as much as I try, but God does. And so we pray. Do we understand that the power and position our Father has? Do we really understand it? Do we pray like David prayed when he says, "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours." Right? Or when Paul prayed that God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine, that do we pray that? Or Jeremiah, he says, "You made the heavens and the earth by your great power, by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." Do we pray that way? Do we recognize the God's power, his position, his authority? When Isaiah said, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are your ways higher than my ways and your thoughts higher than my thoughts." Amen. God knows. Amen. We can trust him. Amen. It may look like our problems are overwhelming, but listen, God is still in control. We're able to depend on him more when we understand. When we declare God's greatness, it takes our mind off of the momentary struggles we are to say, "Oh God, you've got this." Like, "Oh, the coronavirus, it's going to get us all." Oh no, God, you're bigger than coronavirus.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Am I right?
That's right.
Do I have to be afraid of that? I don't think so. We were singing that, "Jesus, Jesus," you know, that the name of Jesus, I don't have to walk in fear. God has given me not a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. And so then he goes in and he says, and he prays, "Hallowed be your name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." And a lot of times we think of that as statements of praise, and it could be that, but I think it's more accurately, and I have it out of the New Living Translation, right here, "Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy." God, it's not so much a declaration of who God is as it is a request for what God does. God, may you sanctify your name in this place. It's really a request for God to do something. You know, "Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy." Because how many of you realize we live in a world where there are places where God's name is not holy?
Yeah.
Where people call down curses using his name. And so I believe it's a request for God to do something. To sanctify means to set it apart, to make it holy. Now stick with me, because there's two ways we find in Scripture that God sanctifies his name. People are like, "Whoa, you know what, God, you're amazing, you're wonderful, you are bigger than I ever imagined." So the first way God does that is by his own actions. By his own actions. How many of you know, if somebody splits the Red Sea and people can walk through, I'm going to be in awe of that.
Amen.
Like, wow, that was awesome. Can you do that again? Right? And so he does at the River Jordan. Right? So when God does, when God heals people, listen, if God has miraculously healed you, I don't care if people get tired of hearing it. He doesn't heal us so that we can keep it to ourselves and say, "Whoo, man, I avoided that." God touches us and heals us and does miracles so that we can proclaim his wonder.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Right. Is there anyone here ever been like, you know it was a miraculous healing? Right? Look at the hands that are up. I can attest, you know, that God has done. I'm not going to share my testimony right now, but we've only got a limited amount of time. But God does miraculous things, and it draws glory to his name.
Right.
So, and let me say this. Amen. God's name is not just or sanctified only by his action, but also by our action. In Numbers, we read about Moses, and you know, for the longest time, I really struggled with how unfair it seemed that God was with Moses, because Moses was not able to enter the promised land simply because God told him to strike a rock basically once and water would come out. But guess what? Moses hit it twice. And because of that, he couldn't enter the promised land. And I thought, wow, that's tough. That's a little harsh there, God. But look what he says in Numbers 20, verse 12. It says, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." Now, I believe that God is saying, your actions did not sanctify me. Your actions. You did not set apart my name. You did not trust what I said. Basically, you made your name famous and not mine. You made your name. We can look at it a little bit more. It makes maybe a little more sense in Matthew 5:16. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may pat you on the back and tell you what a great person you are. It doesn't do that. What does it say? That they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. And let me say, we should be doing good things, not so that people can be like, wow, you're amazing. Wow, you're so nice. You're so kind. Now, people may do that, but I hope that it's directing to Jesus. Right? I'm just going to tell you, as a pastor, I'm always a little cautious when I have people that come up and like, oh, I want to do this and I want to do that. You know, I want to be on the stage and I want to do all these things where everybody sees me. They may not say it like that, but you know what? I'm like, well, can you go pick up the trash in the parking lot? I don't do that. I'm not feeling called to that. Can you help in the nursery? Oh, man, you know, that is not my calling, right? I want to be honest with you. I don't think changing dirty diapers is anybody's calling.
Not me.
But you know what? If we're not willing to serve behind the scenes, why would God put us up in a place just so that we can inflate our head? Right? God loves us too much for that. So let your light so shine before men that God is giving glory. And listen, if somebody gives it to you, you better be quick to give it to God.
That's right.
Amen. You better be quick to give it to God. So our actions sanctify the name of God when we follow Jesus, when we do what Jesus did and the way. And that's what's amazing about prayer. This prayer is not about asking God for what we want. It's not about asking God to clean up our mess. It's about saying, God, would you come and make yourself famous right here in El Dorado County?
Amen.
Would you make yourself... Listen, this county needs to see God, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sometimes as churches we twiddle, how are we going to reach this community? How are we going to... God, can we make this our prayer? Can we make this our... Can we go back to the prayer right there? God, our Father in heaven, may you sanctify your name in El Dorado County. It is a request that we are asking God to display his glory. We're asking for miracles, right? God still does miracles. But listen, we've got to be obedient as well. We've got to allow God to work through us. And so when you pray that prayer, you better make sure that you're like, I'm ready to give God glory in this.
That's right.
I'm ready to lift up God. And so God wants to partner with you and I to work and do his will in this earth. When we're saying thy kingdom come, your will be done, we're not just like on the outside, we're a part of that. We're a part of God's will. Did you realize that? God's will being done is done through him, sometimes through us, right? And so these are this prayer, and this is really, and I know that I squeezed this in pretty quick, but I hope you really relate. If you can grab anything out of it, just make sure that you hang on to our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. May your name be kept holy. Can we make that a prayer this week as we pray for your family, as you pray for your neighborhood, maybe your coworkers, for this community that we're in? God, we're saying make your name holy. Do that, Lord God. Do amazing things as you have, as we've heard about. So we're going to read and we're going to receive communion. So we're going to have the ushers up here. But as they're getting ready, listen, remember, this is an R thing. A lot of times we hand out communion individually, but I want to challenge you. Many times we do this here. You may be new here. Don't come up here alone. Because taking communion and serving God again is not about me, myself, and I. It's about, hey, listen, I want to come with a brother or sister in the Lord, and we're going to celebrate and we're going to honor the Lord together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.